Time to catch up on the Molloy Drive Show. Okay, Australia, you know him. You can count on him.
I'm a 50-50 chance.
You love him.
Hello. Go to the top shelf, ladies.
And now, it's his show.
Here we go, people.
This is Molloy.
It sure is. Welcome, everybody, from around the big brown land. Hi, Dave. Big show today.
What's on today's show, Mick?
Daryl Braithwaite's health.
Yeah, got an update.
Yeah, it's not good.
Is it? Well, I think he's heading out of hospital. We'll let you know. Yeah, no, we've got the info, and I think it's good.
I had him in the Deadpool.
I know you did.
I heard the news and took him in the Deadpool. Are you saying he's on the mend?
He was on this show last Thursday, went to hospital that night, but good news
we'll get to the bottom of that in just a moment. We've got a nerd alert. We've been promising but young James Blake needs to get a few things off his chest.
Yeah.
I want to talk about this new toilet, which has AI technology, which goes through your waist and tells you what's going on and on with your life. Yeah,
the old Henry III, and then it's
Henry III will identify it and give you the bad news. You have colon cancer.
Oh, that's
well, who knows?
You don't
how
want
smart
to find
is
that
the?
All right.
Imagine your toilet breaking that news to
you. Yeah, that's right.
You'd want a second opinion, Dave. That's all I'm saying.
All right, nerd alert. We'll get all amongst that.
One of the Australian icons, one of the great Victorians of all time, one of the great sportsmen of all time, Merv Hughes has been accepted in the Hall of Fame.
Well done.
Fame. He's going to join us on the show.
Merv.
We're going to play you a couple of bits. He's a giant figure.
Yeah.
He's one of my idols.
He's an Aussie hero. We love
him. It's a big story.
Get him up here.
Cannot wait to get him in the studio. Adam Rosenbach's one of my favourite comedians, will be on board. He's going to take a look at Holy Moly, I believe. Which
apparently shot the lights
out
last night too. Like, it rated really well for Channel 7, so congratulations.
Did it?
Yeah, it did.
I thought it came third.
Oh, maybe it did. I should
it's only four.
All right.
Can we get to the bottom of that? Can someone do their homework, Dave? Right.
I thought it was the number one non-news program.
I tell you what, if that's true, I'll give you your own TV segment on this.
Oh, okay. Showbiz with Dave.
Tourism Australia are on board and giving away through us a holiday to any great state in this country. Today we're doing New South Wales.
Yes.
So if you want to go to New South Wales, any reason why, get on board. Let us know.
I was there for 4 days during the holiday before I got turned back.
And then you had to quarantine.
That's it.
We'll take your calls. We'll take your tweets. So much to get through, including your behaviour, Dave.
What have I done
which
now?
Has piqued people's interest around the country. Well, basically yesterday we revealed on the show that during the GFC, when we were tightening the belts, and something had to go, you got rid of your World Vision kitty.
Well, isn't that a sensible thing to do?
Little Nathaniel, was it, from Kenya?
Where was he? Somewhere there,
And you just went, you cut him loose. You cut off the branch to save the tree, and in this instance it was a poor little boy.
When you sort of say it like that, it does sound a bit mean-spirited. But the thing is, you've got to look after
your... Well, it is mean-spirited, and you did it, and I think you should be ashamed of yourself. And out there, people are wondering what it's all about.
I'm sure little Nathaniel is doing really well.
He's not. Can I tell you what's going to... Where he's going to end up?
Where?
Who will probably go up to knock down the Twin Towers? Okay. You know, you hear these stories of kids who get disillusioned. Suicide bomber.
You.
I'm not ruling out suicide bomber at some stage.
So you're saying, had I not cut him loose?
Well, you've cut him loose. And now he's...
So you say, had I not cut him loose...
he's got no education.
Oh.
So he's had a taste of it.
Someone else would have picked up the
tab. He'll grow up hating Westerners. You know what he'll do? He'll probably stalk you. You know when 20 years from now he'll come looking for you? No, it will happen.
What?
They'll be in charge of knocking down Twin Towers, something like that, and then they'll go, the only person I'll speak to is Dangerous Dave. You have to go and negotiate.
Yeah.
Because of what you created. A ticking time bomb.
Yeah.
He doesn't like Westerners.
Well, it's not my fault.
I mean, I've got the brochure here.
You've got a brochure.
Can you go again?
Oh, well, you know, things are okay now. Look, we're all back on track.
Looks like he could use a dad.
Oh, yeah.
Little.
What's his interest? What does he like to do?
Well, soccer, but he's never had a soccer ball. Okay, stop it, everyone. You need to...
I'll buy him a soccer ball.
You'll buy him a soccer ball and send him a soccer ball. Yeah, and you know what I'll do? Next time it gets tough, you'll ask for it back.
That's right.
Dave, what is wrong with you? Can you...
What do you
please,
mean?
World Vision run a great episode.
They do.
We'll get you another.
Why don't we get, like, a Molloy-sponsored child on behalf of the whole team so everyone can chip in, Whitney and James and Jay.
Yeah, because we'll get in trouble one day. So we'll get in Madonna-style trouble. We'll go to Malawi and try and... Yeah. What if we go and pick one? Dave,
you want me to do it?
You've let us all down.
All right.
And you need to correct. What was the name of it?
Well, I can't remember the name.
Was he called Danger? Little Dangerous?
Little Dangerous Dave, maybe. Well, yeah, possibly, but no, he's okay, I'm sure. He'd be fine. I suppose I could always find out. I could get the paperwork back out. 13 years later, we'd still have it somewhere and see what
he's
up to.
Tax credit or something.
Yeah, there'd be something in it for me, yeah.
Help you out.
Hey, lots of feedback about your tracky pants.
About what?
Your tracky pants. Remember the other day you put those tracky pants on Instagram?
Well, because we came and we were talking about on the show how there's new office leisure wear.
Yeah.
And say I should be the poster boy, like the male model for the, the kind of trackies and the active wear that you can wear at the office.
I get it.
And we posted a picture of me, a very good picture.
Where was that taken, by the way? That you look very relaxed and very happy with yourself. Were you just on the couch at home? Or was it,
I think it was
circumstances for that?
Yeah, at the front of the Supreme Court. No, it's good. Why? What
lots of comments coming through. I just thought I'd share some with you. Louis Potts says, oh, my lordy, dreamboat. So you're getting a little bit of love there.
Yeah.
Michael Scott says, Ron Jeremy look.
Oh, yeah.
The Scott says, the look of I'm going commando, ladies.
Well, you got to the bottom of that. It's like me in that picture of Greg Norman on the beach. They're hard to split.
Is it? Really?
It's much the same place. I just don't show off.
Captain Pringles can. What about James McMillan says, looks like Joseph Stalin to me.
Not bad. Well, he can get stuff.
Not bad. Ian Ellison says, is that a wee stain?
Okay, Dave, I don't think these are the ones we wanted to read out.
Pixie says, look, Saddam Hussein free-balling in leisure wear. What about Kevin Knott? Gee, Super Mario's let himself go.
Okay, Dave, yellow card for you. Yellow. There's one that there says, is that the guy from Welcome Back,
Connor? Oh, Dave Kaplan.
Yeah, stop it.
All right.
I'm going to have a chat to you.
All right, we'll clean it up.
Yellow card, you're out of order. When we come back, what are we doing?
We're going to check in with Daryl Braithwaite. Coming out of hospital. So we'll get the latest on Daryl's health coming
he's
up.
He's not out of the woods.
He is.
For the drive home, this is Malloy.
So I tried to get on Daryl Braithwaite yesterday, obviously, after you nearly killed him.
Well, I was the last
person. Last interview here with you alone in a studio.
He didn't look really great on Thursday.
Went home, pulled a gig at Malakuto, and then spent the whole weekend being dragged around weekend at Bernie style. Oh, I tried to get on him for the Deadpool here at the office, and what's the status?
All right, well, here's the good news, and Daryl put this out about 20 hours ago on Facebook, last night, in fact. The message is, good Monday afternoon. I'm now home from hospital. They couldn't tell me as yet what bug I had inside my body, but I feel okay. Thank you to all the nurses and all the staff that looked after me at Cabrini. Putting all on the PPE garments and procedure involved is so demanding, hot and seemingly claustrophobic.
You're going on a bit. I'll
get to the end then. All right. Congratulations to Michael Gadinski and his team and all
what
the people.
What did Gadinski do?
You got to mention. Well, we're putting together the Sounds Better Together gig that happened on the weekend too. So thanks to the many supporters for sending their Facebook comments. Best wishes, Daryl.
It sounds like Gadinski was on his medical crew. I've been pulled out of a very dire medical station. So thanks to Dr. Michael Gadinski. Imagine seeing Gadinski standing at the end of the bed looking at a chart.
Nah.
Mate, need to release more singles. Quickly, you're going to die by Thursday.
Yes.
Mate, we can get out a posthumous album. Best off. You'll be right. You've got two Hall of Fames. We'll get you another one.
We'll
get a Lifetime Achievement Award.
Yep. Here's a new record. We should get him on, actually, the great Michael Gadinski. It's been a while.
Welcome into the new year.
Daryl's doing great. So
and what about for me? Can I get on? So I can't get on Daryl. Can I get on Sir Thomas Moore? Tom Moore. You remember Tom Moore?
I do, indeed.
He was the captain. Captain Sir Tom Moore.
Got knighted by the Queen.
He got knighted by the Queen after all the money he raised for health workers.
Incredible.
In the NHS, and he's taken a turn. He was taken to Bedford Hospital on Sunday, requiring help breathing. He's 100 years old. This could be good. Can I get on?
What are you saying?
I would like to get on Sir Tom
on the Deadpool. 100-year-old geriatric man.
It'll be short, but I'll have a crack. I'll have a crack. Yeah, can I do it?
You can't do that, mate. That's a stupid thing to say.
Well,
don't wish that upon anyone.
Has anyone else got him?
I don't know. Well, here's the thing. We had a caller last week, Rob. I think Rob might have got him on the... Hang on, have a listen to this.
Rob, who's not going to make it through the next year, buddy?
I hate to wish it on him, but Sir Tom, the old fella who saved the National Health Service in England, bombed Hitler in the Second World War and got knighted by the Queen.
He's got
nothing else to live for.
Come on, Rob! Rob. You might have had some inside information, too.
Well, I'll tell you what. You say nothing else to live for. You'd think that. 100-year-old man, all that behind him. And then you hear this story. Listen to this. We don't need the soundbite. I'll just give it to you.
Okay.
Guess what he did recently? Mm-hmm. He was taking a pneumonia medicine. So Tom visited Barbados in December, just gone.
What do you mean? Like a holiday.
He's gone on holiday to help him get over the pneumonia. Now, I've got to ask you, it's one question.
What? Like,
what is in Barbados for a 100-year-old man who's, as you said, Hitler couldn't get him.
Yeah.
Barbados will, trust me. He's not... He's going out of there in one of those. Mate, what is he doing in Barbados?
I have no idea what he's doing in Barbados.
Not the limbo.
No.
I guarantee you this. Sir Tom is not limboing under two Coke bottles and a stick. He is. Hey, man, what are you doing there, Sir Tom? Why don't you come out with us tonight?
I don't think he's out partying with the
locals. He's out partying.
No, he's
with
not.
He's having a...
He's sitting in his Jason recliner having a little...
He's on the ganja.
No, he's
on the ganja.
He wouldn't have smoked any ganja,
I
Sir
bet
Tom.
You he did. I bet you he did. So Barbados.
Yeah.
What is in Barbados?
I don't know. What's around?
The Caribbean.
Is that anywhere near the island of
don't
Mystique?
Don't start that. If he went to Mystique, he would be coming home in a box. Yes, no one.
Well, how is he doing now then, Sir Tom? Because he's not doing great,
he's
is
back.
He?
Okay, can I have Graham Richardson?
The what?
In the Deadpool.
What's
I don't know.
Talking
I'm just
about?
I want to get an urn out of the Deadpool. Hey, Graham Richardson's my friend. I
ALP power broker he's we're talking
on.
About.
Yeah, ALP.
What's wrong with Richo? I haven't seen him lately. Is he still on Sky News? He pops up there now and then.
Well, you see, that's it. You wouldn't know if he's dead or alive because he's on Sky News.
Okay.
You don't see it. But he's just, last time I saw, you know, he's a... Great man, Graham Richardson,
right.
And a good friend. Can I have him? No one else has got him.
You don't want to put your friend in the Deadpool, though. That's not.
Do you know what he did one day? And this is one of the most remarkable stories I'll ever tell about anyone.
Richard.
And this is back in the day when he was working for Packer or with Packer.
Mm.
And the Channel 9, stupidly, were trying to get me to Channel 9 for my first show.
Nick Molloy show.
And I swear this is a true story, Graham Richardson. How, this is why he's one of the best fix-its.
Yeah.
One of the best. Oh, look, I'm already talking about him in the past tense.
Yeah, R.I.P.
In the business. But he was trying to contact me to go join 9. I didn't answer his calls. And I went on a holiday.
Mm.
I got in a car and I drove from Broome to Kununurra. That's across the Kimberley. Big hello to our West Australian listeners today, doing it tough. So across the Kimberley, and I at about 7 o'clock at night, I go, I'm a bit tired. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to pull in at the next hotel motel and stay for the night.
Good thing to do.
So I pull in. I don't even know I'm going to pull into here.
Right.
And I only pull in there, like, you know, with 5 minutes before I make
a
decision.
Yeah.
And I drive up. And as I drive up from park, the guy comes out of the hotel motel and goes, are you Mick Molloy? I go, yes. I go, Graham Richardson wants you to call
him. Oh, my God. That's unbelievable.
How did he? Well, he knew I was on holidays and rang every hotel, motel, place of all, got his assistant to, every bit of accommodation on that
That's
room.
That's incredible. Mr. Fix-It.
Yeah. So I better go to his funeral, I suppose. Whenever that may be.
All right. You think about that. Think about yourself, what you've just said today. All right. Coming back with a nerd alert, then Merv Hughes.
Get with the program, Toots. This is Molloy.
Attention. Alert. Attention.
Nerd alert.
The nerds are taking over.
What a nerd.
Time to sound the nerd alert.
Nerd alert. Nerd alert.
Here he is. Assistant producer James.
2 days in a row. Don't mind it.
Yeah, well, they get used to it.
Yeah. All right.
This could be your last ever appearance on this program. Hey, quickly, before we get into the nerdy stuff, which you're very good at, tech, we know it's your strong suit. Yesterday, one of your many tasks here is to...
set up the equipment.
Well, I was doing all that, but I had a wig out because I ran out of Red Bull.
Yeah, and you needed nuts as well.
I needed nuts and Red Bulls. You went downstairs, got it for me.
Yeah.
Never returned my credit card. So I'm at home. So I'm trying to pay a dinner bill last night. I'm in a restaurant. I've just eaten a big steak.
Oh, no.
I go, here's the bill. I go, hang on, I'm patting myself down.
Oh, no.
And I go, no. And it was that deliberate or?
No, it's
how
just,
did you, why did you not give me my credit card back?
When you're producing a radio show, you're operating on a different mental plane.
Oh,
and
here we go.
The credit card I just slotted away and I went, I need to make sure that I put it in your pocket. If I just left it in front of you, you wouldn't have gotten it. So I slotted it away and went, I will do this at a later point. Now, I just happened to come down from the high of National Drive around about 6:50.
Nerd alert! Nerd alert!
Maybe if you didn't leave so early, then...
Just out of interest, what did you do last night? Like, will anything show up on my credit card bill when I get it?
I didn't know you could have so much fun on a Monday night. A lot of people open up.
What was that? Really? Dungeons & Dragons online with all my friends.
Oh, there's a really nice Viking restaurant that I like to go to.
Viking restaurant? All right, let's get into it. Now, there's this huge tech news. Forget GameSpot. Forget Google leaving Australia. Get to the big one.
The Japanese have invented a high-tech lavatory that can detect your vital signs and even look at your diet and see
examines your waste. It examines your waste material and gives you a diagnosis.
Yeah.
Now, is that information you want or need from your toilet?
They always say it's pretty healthy to look at your stool. Every now and again. They do say that. You should check it out. You shouldn't just flush it away.
That's someone who's been to university for 5 years, not your dunny. Oh, my dunny going, good Lord.
You're not looking good down. Good Lord. Just get the job done and flush.
I'd prefer that the toilet's doing it than me. I reckon the toilet will know more than me.
If I'm going to get a diagnosis for colon cancer, I don't want it from my toilet. And I'll be wanting a second opinion, possibly from the toaster. I don't know. This is just madness. This is beyond the... What type of stuff does it tell you? What reading material you should be using? And then I would be reading a National Geographic while you take this dump. What does it do?
It's called the wellness toilet. It is connected to the internet, so it means it's sending your shit online and up to the cloud, and that's where all
comes
the
comes back. Things,
yeah.
Good Lord, Mayday, incoming lager bomb. Here comes a lager bomb.
Yuck.
Oh, my God. But it's not right, mate, because imagine this. So it's okay, so you want it. What about all your guests? Someone, Dave comes round for a dinner party or something, and next thing you know, he's being analysed.
Yeah.
That's a fun little party trick. Everyone has that fun little thing at your house that you like to show off.
I used one for overnight.
Really?
Well, I just thought I'd give it a test run.
Right, well.
Here's the black box recording.
Take a listen.
Hello, Michael. I do love the smell of burrito in the morning. However, I would suggest seeing a doctor immediately.
Now, again, this is the sinister use of artificial intelligence that gets up right up. Do you know what it's like? You go to the toilet for a bit of peace and quiet, not to have your stool diagnosed by the toot.
Yeah.
Have you ever used a Japanese toilet before?
It's a whole new level. Personal.
I was never brave enough to use the bidet, but the next time I head over there.
A bit of bidet action.
I used to
wash the dishes in the bidet back in the day. Oh. But this is why the toilet used to be a personal experience where you'd go for a bit of peace and quiet. Not to have it, you're in trouble. big night last night, was it, Mickey? You can't be doing that. And you know, here's the other one. Here's the other one, which I don't get, and I never liked. You know the little thing, the air freshener?
Oh, like the spray. Yeah, this one.
What's that about? It's like a review. Like you go in, and you do your bizzo, and it just goes, oh, Jesus.
Break.
Double. Why do I need so much electronic equipment invading my personal space?
Look at it like a really advanced pit stop. They're just, you're going in, they're tuning you up, and then you're all sorted.
I wish it was real. I wish it was a real pit crew. Hey, there's some danger money. Lord. Hey, when we come back, what are we going to do?
We've got Merv Hughes standing Hall of Fame, one of the all-time legends of Australian sport.
Thank you, by the way, for that. Give me my card back.
A drive home that's always unpredictable. This is Malloy.
It is Mick Malloy with Merv Hughes coming up in just a moment. Yeah. Adam Rosenbach's in the second hour, and we're giving you the chance to win a holiday here. It's worth that. We'll give you the travel vouchers worth $2,000. Yeah. Anyway,
tell us why
you
want to go, you know. Yeah. Maybe want to check out Belangolo State Forest.
Sure.
Who knows? It's a beautiful forest.
Oh, it is amazing. Yeah, I love it there.
A few stories to tell. But don't say the Harbour Bridge I want to climb the Harbour Bridge. I want to see the Opera House. Yeah. You will not win.
I tell you where I want to go, and I spent a night there, but I want to go back is Coonabarra Brand because they have a big telescope there, and the sky is so dark. It's one of the greatest places in Australia to see the planet. So
you're
I could see Saturn,
nerd.
I could see Venus, I could see Uranus.
Such a nerd.
Coonabarra Brand.
But that's the type of thing we might just go, you know what, that guy needs help.
Yeah.
We'll give him a trip.
Yeah.
Whitney, where would you go if you were in New South Wales?
Bermagui.
Oh, it's nice there.
Is that a real place?
Near Marimbula.
What happens there?
It's a little fisherman's town. I've got family there.
Doesn't sound like you. What are you up to?
It actually doesn't sound like me at all, does it?
What are you going to do there?
I don't know.
You haven't thought this through, have you?
What's
wrong with
you? Caught me off guard. Move on.
Beg your pardon.
Did you just move me on? Oh, did we just move me on?
Let's timestamp that.
See me in my office after the show.
36
wherever that is. Okay, now I just gave you a big responsibility. Have you done it?
I have.
We just worked out that the Oslotto is what?
Yeah, Oslotto is $30 million tonight.
Yeah.
So you've gone down to get the team ticket.
Yeah.
And how many of us are in it?
There is six of us.
Everyone on the show?
Everyone on our show is in it. I've paid for it out of my own money.
Okay, here's where the trouble starts. Here's where the trouble starts.
So you all owe me.
So who's in it? Everyone here.
Yourself, Dangerous
Dave. What about
Dave?
Our guest, Adam Rosenberg? No,
that's all.
Thank you, cut Rosie out. I tell you what, we'll hit him up for the $7. But we won't put him in it. Hey, show me a picture. I want to see a photo of the ticket.
I've taken a photo.
Why don't I keep it?
Yeah, yeah, great
and
idea.
And if we win,
yeah.
It should be divvied up in order of importance. So it shouldn't be just a straight
split.
So
I'm number one.
No, it shouldn't be a straight split.
Of course it should be. What are you talking about?
Are you on the poster, Dave? No, I don't think you are. So, minor share for you.
Not any poster, apparently.
I tell you what we could do. Put some towards acquiring you another World Vision baby. Hey, if you win this, you can go and find your little kitty.
Yeah, Nathaniel.
And get him back.
Yeah, that's it. Hey? Here's a little bit of intel I just heard off air. You had your headphones on, Mickey didn't hear this. He's going, I bought another ticket for me.
She's just
bought a ticket for the show and you bought another ticket for yourself.
Yeah, but I did
Interesting,
that
isn't
before
it?
Before I bought... This one. I did that on the Oslotto app, so it's completely digital.
Enough.
No.
Yeah, you need to go and do we sign this? What do we do?
No,
what do you need from me?
You all owe me $7.93.
Right. I'm good for it.
And how much do we win?
Danger, you were good for that? $7.93?
Of course I am. I'll transfer it.
I'd give you my credit card, but I mean, you just got it back from James. Had a night kittens on.
Do you know how to do a bank transfer?
Yes. what's that? Your ATM?
No.
What do I do?
No, the online banking, you know.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, Ziggy Zekowski, one of the captains of industry. Sorry for federal bank chair. What are you paying in? Like,
can you hand that back? It's making me nervous.
Sure. Do you want it back? What, this?
Don't. You're an idiot. What a waste of money.
Out, Whitney. Thank you very much for your contribution. Hey, we mentioned this, and we're so excited.
Yeah.
Bert Hughes is on this program.
He is.
Been inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
One of the most important cricketers of the modern era, as far as I'm concerned.
I agree.
A great Australian cricketer, a great Victorian. Mm. You put him up there, I think, with the cricketing circles is Dean Jones, Shane Warne, and Merv Hughes.
Yep.
And
Bill Murray.
Well, yep, sure. Yep. But him and Warnie in the modern era particularly have been so well loved.
Yeah.
All right, we had him on. He's going to come on the show very soon. We had him on Front Bar recently, and he actually told an anecdote about his fellow Victorian Shane Warne, which made us all smile.
And a lot of people say to me, like, oh, Warnie's a bit of a wanker. I say, you never met him, have you?
Yeah.
And they, no, I haven't.
Yeah.
If you meet Shane Warne and you have a bit of time with him, you love him.
Yep.
You never say a bad word about him. He's fantastic. And a lot of people think he is the way he is because of what he's done. He carries on now because of the cricket that he played.
Yep.
Mate, I knew him when he was 18, 19. He was a wanker back then. The thing about him, the success that he has not changed in one iota. Yeah. He would be exactly the same if he didn't play cricket.
That is Merv Hughes through and through, a great storyteller, a funny man, a great cricketer. Alan Border, I think, was his go-to guy for so long. You know, he was... Bay 13 favourite.
Oh, yeah. It was an experience to go to the cricket, and if you knew Merv Hughes was playing, it just made the day way more enjoyable.
Amazing. He worked for charity. His charity walk. I remember asking Ian Botham about his charity walk, because Ian Botham recreated Hannibal's walks across Europe.
Right.
Like from India to Turkey or wherever
it
was, with elephants and the whole ride. And I remember him and Bumble on air one day working out that Merv had done a charity walk.
Okay.
And here they are talking about it.
He's arriving soon, Bumble. Who is? Australia's biggest pest. Merv Hughes. Big Merv's arriving. Hercules Transporter, I've heard. They're just bringing him in.
We've got a feature on him in the second test match, Saturday Story, Merv Hughes. I've got one for you. I've got a story for you. How many walks have you done?
15, I think.
Yeah, and I know you've done one, like John O'Groats to Land's End. That's a fair way. How many miles is that?
1,000, give or take.
And, you know, we're talking big businesses here, right? Big miles. You know what Merv did? You know his walk, his charity walk? He did one. I'm sure he was taking the mickey out of you. He's done a charity walk from Melbourne Railway Station to the MCG, which is about a quarter of a mile. He had all these people with him, thousands of people behind him on doing a charity walk. Where are you walking? I thought he's going to be walking like Melbourne to Sydney. But no, he said, I'm going from the station to the G.
Well, he's going into the Hall of Fame,
well done,
where
Merv.
He deserves to be. We will come back and talk to the great man himself.
For the drive home, this is Malloy.
Merv Hughes standing in front of Bay 13. I think the wave is old news down there, Merv.
The inimitable Merv Hughes.
One of the most iconic moustaches in cricket.
Inducted into the Australian Cricket Hall of Fame.
And he's got it. Merv Hughes, a hat-trick.
Swervin Mervin took 212 wickets in 53 tests for Australia.
He's got him. What a piece of bowling. Superb bowling by Mervin Hughes.
Hughes left a memorable mark on the game and becomes the 56th inductee.
To come in alongside some of the names that are in there, it's a little bit overwhelming and obviously a little bit emotional.
It's not enough as far as I'm concerned. He needs a statue out the front of the MCG,
yes.
Possibly out the front of Bay 13, if you can find enough bronze, that is. Please welcome Swervin Mervin, Merv Hughes. Congratulations, well big fella.
Yeah, well done.
Miggy, thanks very much. Thanks, guys.
It's a fantastic honour, and it's well-deserved. Yeah. The statistics speak for themselves. It was an incredible career. I think no one would agree more with this induction than Alan Border, who went to you every possible time he could. From the time you got there in 85 to the time you finished in 94, mate, you're an institution. You are always the first bloke to have the ball thrown to them when the going got tough. How did you find out? Yeah. And clearly you're emotional. This is you're in the company of rarefied people.
Without doubt. I probably found out in November. Yep. So keeping it to myself was a bit of a challenge to myself, yeah. I've got to tell you.
Yes.
But the further it gets, obviously I've had time to think about it, and
yep.
you heard the waver in the voice there. So
yeah
it just means a hell of a lot, and to be up alongside the 55 other members that have been inducted into the Hall of Fame, some of the names in there, watching them when I was growing up, they're just icons of the game. So to be part of that, it is very overwhelming.
It's a fantastic honour and well-deserved, yeah. And not only for everything you did on the field, but for what you meant to the Australian public, and in particular the Victorian public. I had the great pleasure of seeing you play and being down at Bay 13 and being part of the crowd that mimicked every move you ever made. And it was as much fun as I've ever had at the cricket. And, you just had that rare ability for people to connect with you and understand you. And it was wonderful. And one of the great moustaches. I think the moustache should be inducted on its own. one of the most important, I put it up there with Boonies, Lilies.
Yeah.
Ian Chappell, Alan Border. Max Walker, if I missed anyone?
Mitch Johnson.
Mitchell Johnson's handlebar moustache, when he terrified the Poms, was one of the greats. Yours, though, I reckon, should be should be turned into ashes and put in an urn. We should set fire to it and play for it. Mate, what are you going to do now? Are you going to change? Are you going to beat up yourself? Are you going to only attend certain dues? Yeah. What do you do from here, mate?
Oh, mate, obviously you cash in. So,
well done.
Anyone wants me to function, just give us a yell.
I love it.
Well, I've had a year off last year, so bang, I'm into
it.
And with that Hall of Fame next to your name, obviously you just double your price straight away. So it's all fantastic. Mick, you know how it works.
Right, I know how it works. Can I say this? I'm guessing, are they going to present you with this at the Alan Border Medal? Is that how it works?
No, we had the presentation at the MCG, so the announcement and the presentation at the MCG.
Yeah.
And there's a package, I think, on Channel 7 before the Big Bash final on Saturday night, virtually the award ceremony, because there's no dinner this year, Mick, which is very disappointing.
I
was hoping to go along, have a couple of froffies and maybe do a fair bit at the Brownlow a few years ago, make a name for yourself, but unfortunately it's been taken away from me.
Mate, I would have encouraged you to try and break Boonie's record at the Alan Border at the Alan Border Medal before your speech, and you would have got up there and told them what's what. Mate, we can't thank you enough for all the enjoyment you've given us on and off the field. Yeah, as I said, a great Victorian, great Australian, and we look forward to hearing from you again very soon. Don't go changing. And just before you go, a quick message from Steve Smith, who's running. Wants to say, there he is.
He wants to sing your song.
It's a moving occasion for the great Merv Hughes. Good on you, Merv.
Well done, Merv.
Miggy, thanks very much. Mick, thanks for all your support, mate.
You love got it, mate.
Hall of Famer, Merv Hughes.
A drive home that's pretty loose. This is my
Malloy. With Mick Malloy. If you missed the first hour of the show, here's the good news. You can catch up with the podcast. So we put them out after the show each night, and at your leisure, you can listen to the...
You sound very interested. It sounded a bit half-assed.
I was doing my big radio spiel here until you interrupted.
Yeah, Malloy with Mick Malloy.
I'll do it again. There's Queen, crazy little thing called love. Are you listening to Malloy on Triple M, Mick Malloy?
You didn't have to go the full 90s, but... Jeez, and mate, why do you put your cap on backwards? Jeez, Dave.
Podcast is available up after the show, wherever you get your podcast from.
How do you get on the podcast? How do you get on the podcast?
Well, you probably already got it on your phone, so you just go click, I want to subscribe to Malloy, look up that, and then you go subscribe.
You go to the App Store.
No, it's already on your phone, I think, the podcast app, so you don't need to know. And then, so what happens, each day it updates with a new podcast. It's brilliant.
What if I want to listen to an old podcast?
Yeah, you can scroll through old ones. You can go back. We could probably go back 12 months, back when Jane used to be on the show.
Find one where you weren't that prominent. That's what I'd do. All right. Hey, what's coming up in the second hour, please?
Adam Rosenbarks is here. Rosie's in the building. He'll be joining us in just a moment. Giving you the chance to win a holiday here this year because, you know, we can't go anywhere.
It's a great prize.
There's so many places in Australia I'm dying to go and visit. There's so many. So I think this is a great idea.
Today, Tourism Australia are offering, and we are offering you the opportunity to win a trip to the great state of New South Wales.
Wherever you want to go.
Tell us what you do or why you want to go there, and we'll reward you if we feel it's the right call. As I said, personally, Blangalo is of great interest to me. What would you do?
I told you, Coonabarra Brand to go see the planets.
We were joined by the song Whisperer himself. Give him his music.
Oh, you want to hear that?
I do. Hi, Jay.
Hello.
It's New South Wales. You've just got back from there.
Just came back.
So you've spent how much time on the ground?
We were there for 9 weeks.
And what would you recommend people go to New South Wales?
It's something that I saw on the drive back to Victoria, which is the dog on a tucker box.
Gundagai.
Do you remember when someone stole it?
Yeah,
someone stole the dog on the tucker box?
And
we spoke to the mayor on this show. We said it's the most un-Australian thing I've ever seen. What are you going to, turn that. That's the crown jewels, as far as I'm concerned, for this great country.
Underwhelming.
You can't steal Gundagai. Tucker box. Yeah, that's it.
Gundagai. See, you'd probably go close to winning with a suggestion like that today.
But what do you do once you've seen the dog in the tucker box?
No. Keep driving.
Move on.
How dare you? Gundagai is a wonderful country town in a regional port of Australia.
100%. Great place.
Jeez.
The dog in the tucker box, it's just a...
That's the thing. What more do you need, man?
You could get your photo taken with it. You could pretend to dry hump it. There's so much. Am I the only one here?
It's a bit underwhelming, I think.
There should be a statue of a guy standing beside it with a bag in case it was a statue poo.
That's right.
Okay, song whisperer.
All right.
What are we doing? What's the synopsis, please?
All right, this is the Deadpool version of a rock song. Valet manufacturing, valet shop stewards, valet robots that drill holes in sheet metal, valet small businesses that support the larger industry. Rest in peace, assembly line. It was fun while it lasted.
It better not be from Allentown. Because that's typical of that.
Hey, Joel.
That's a great guess.
It better not be anything. If I find out it's Billy Joel.
From the Nylon Curtain album, 1977.
Heads will roll. Yeah.
Don't act like that.
Heads will roll. What about you, Dave? You got a guess on this?
I'm thinking like Closing Time. Semisonic from the 90s.
It's about Last Drinks.
What are you talking about?
About the end of civilization or
people's
way of life.
It's not semi-sonic.
Last Drinks, you idiot.
What about Shutdown, Australian Crawl? Not bad. Not bad.
This is my karaoke song.
Is it?
We'll add it to the list.
All right.
Not Australian Crawl, not Billy Joel.
133353, get involved. This is Malloy.
To gather back around your wireless, people, here comes the big second hour of Malloy.
It's on the way, people. A great prize. One of our listeners will be going. All paid.
Yeah.
New South Wales holiday from somewhere around the big brown land.
You could be in New South Wales. We'll get your holiday in your own state.
Well,
doesn't matter.
We'll get you a mystery flight and then you can go back there. I think you want the trip, don't you?
Of course.
If you're already there.
If you're in Sydney, you might, Byron Bay is my place. I want to hang out with the Hemsworths. We'll get you up there.
But you're going to get on a plane or?
Yeah.
You're an idiot. No, mate. Don't you want to go to a different state? You want to go to a different state. You wait till the
next
day.
It's a big state, New South Wales.
All right, we'll change the rules of the competition to accommodate your wild fantasies. I'm on it. Hey, Adam Rosenbarks, one of the funniest guys in Australia, will be coming on very shortly. We'll take your calls, we'll take your tweets. A lot to get through, but Dave, let's start with the song Whisperer.
Here it is.
Bit of editorial before I move on to the synopsis. Byron Bay, most overrated location in Australia.
Whoa. Pick hello to all our Byron Bay listeners. Yeah, yeah.
Good afternoon.
What's the population?
Nothing wrong with it.
What's the population?
Byron, 15, 20,000 maybe?
That's just Hemsworth's. That is just Hemsworth's. If you see them, don't approach them.
Really?
And if they're in a group,
yeah,
you know, what do you call it? It's not a gaggle of Hemsworth. It's a murder of Hemsworth. What's the collective noun for the Hemsworths?
A hammer?
Song?
A hammer of Hemsworth.
A hammer of Hemsworth's. Approach with caution.
Yeah.
And be very, very careful. And none of them will be wearing shoes.
Right.
Buy some thongs.
Yeah,
Thor? I'm with pop some thongs on. Thor.
Yeah.
Thor thongs. I want to see you in some four thongs. Pop some shoes on. Hey, what's the synopsis, please?
All right, this is the Deadpool version of a rock song. Valet manufacturing, valet shop stewards, valet robots that drill holes in sheet metal, valet small businesses that support the larger industry. Rest in peace, assembly line. It was fun while it lasted.
You really have gone with the tail of woe today, haven't you? It's been a while, but you've broken the shackles. Paul's on the line. Paul, what are you thinking, mate?
The first thing that came into my mind was Dire Straits, Money for Nothing.
Oh,
Money for Nothing. What's that about? What's that song about?
I think it's about the music industry. That's my understanding of that song.
You've clearly not got your head around it, so I'd say it's not. It's not.
I think I've got that
correct. I think it's fair to say you haven't won, Paul, because the song was stumped himself.
Yeah.
No, not Money for Nothing.
It's not Money
for
Nothing.
What's it about?
It's about the music industry.
It's about a guy watching.
It's about a couple of blue collar guys who are, you know, they're installing microwave ovens and they look at those knuckleheads on the TV getting their money for nothing and their chicks for free.
Getting their chicks for free. They're a bit grumpy.
Good gig if you can get it.
Yeah. Blue collar workers, you know.
We love them.
Like, that's what I consider myself.
Why?
Because I'm in the trenches every day, Dave.
You have not worked a full day in your life. Your hands, have a look at your hands.
They're a bit soft.
Never, ever picked up a tool. You wouldn't know what to do with a bloody sledgehammer.
My fridge was out. My hot water was out. And then my TV wouldn't turn on.
Oof.
So I didn't know who to call, so I called a plumber.
Come on.
They called a plumber. Because there's a few things operating here.
Yeah, okay.
And he comes in and he goes, what's wrong? And I was telling him everything. Mm. And he goes, so where's your water system? And I couldn't.
You couldn't?
I couldn't find
it. You don't know where it is.
I could not find my hot water system. I said, I think it might be on the roof. He goes, okay. Where's your fuse box? And I go out the front. I just share this is a true story. Out the front and open the cabinet door. And he goes, mate, that's the meter. He goes, that's the meter. I go, well, I don't know. So he does a lap around my downstairs area. He goes, this is a fuse box, mate, and this is a safety switch. I go, not my department, mate.
What?
So I stay in my lane.
You tripped a fuse. That's what you've done.
I tripped a fuse.
And you got a plumber out.
And yes. And you know what? He wouldn't take any money. He just goes, mate, I'm not going to charge him for this. He said, this is just sad.
You know why he's not charging? Because he can tell all of his mates about going to Mick Malloy's house.
Hey.
Yeah.
Yellow card for you too, Song Whisperer.
Again, those hands have never seen work.
Fiona's on the line. Fiona, how are you?
Where's Fiona? That's not Fiona. That's Reese is the next caller up.
Oh.
I don't have that. I've got, excuse me.
Fiona, line two, Dange.
I've got line two. Fiona.
Hi.
Hi, Fiona. How are you?
I'm good. I'm great.
Where are you calling from?
I'm currently in Castlereagh, but I live in Hawkesbury Heights.
Oh, beautiful.
Oh, yeah. Both wonderful parts of New South Wales. Where would I?
Definitely.
We're going to give a trip away in New South Wales. Where do you think I should go?
Blue Mountains for sure. I live in the mountains and I work in the mountains and there's so many wonderful places to go visit. You can spend weeks.
Three Sisters?
Three Sisters, the Scenic Railway, Denolan Caves.
Oh, Denolan Caves. Awesome. Yeah.
So it sounds like Unabomber country, is it? Are there a lot of loners? Living up there, writing their manifestos.
A lot of loners in the mountains, yeah.
All right, Fiona, what's the song? Do you think you got this?
I was hoping so, but I think I'm on a bit early. So I was thinking it was Jimmy Barnes, Shutting Down My Town.
You think you're too early? Yeah. It certainly ticks a few boxes on this. You
know, it ticks a lot of boxes.
Yeah.
What are you
Fiona's
thinking?
Correct. Oh, my God! Fiona!
You got it.
Awesome.
You got yourself $100 to use at any of our providers like Coles, the Iconic, Netflix, Amazon, Uber Eats, and
on
more.
Fiona.
Excellent.
And our souvenirs?
Oh, yeah, we've got the slightly water-damaged Kennedy Malloy Memorial merchandise.
Slab of Brick Lane.
Well, you've done all that.
Yeah, Slab of Brick Lane for Fiona. Well. She's done well. And guess what?
What?
In tribute, we're going to play you a special version.
Yeah.
Song Whisperer, what have you got?
This is the version from Jimmy Barnes from your pub shout.
The pub shout. Paying for all these beers that we're giving away. He did one of the great performances.
It was awesome.
Flame Trees, K-Sound, and of course this one, and he was wonderful. We were just having this conversation quickly, Dave, off air, and you brought it up, and we're talking about Michael Gudinski's brilliant concert over the weekend, Sounds of Australia, if I got that right. And it was amazing to watch and to see all those musicians in different parts of the country, one after the other, come up. And you made the point.
I said, the music community is always the first to join in to help out.
We've got no help from JobKeeper or any of that stuff. But if you ask the favour or you ask them to reach out, they will
do it. You think about last year, they didn't get an income, musicians. Like that. There was no money coming in for those guys. So
well done to everyone in one of our great industries. This is Malloy. Swinging by, friend of the show, Adam Rosenberg. Yeah. Rosie!
Good to be here, boys. How are we?
How are you? Now, you're tuning in. You know we're giving away a prize shortly to the great state of New South Wales.
Yeah,
what would you do if you were to enter? What would you want to do?
I think I'd like to go back to Dubbo. It was a little bit rushed the last time I was there. I was there for the Royal Tour.
You were too.
I followed,
was it for this show?
Yes, Harry and Megan.
Harry and Megan.
We're up there. And I stayed at the lovely Fountain View Motel, which was across the road from a park that had a fountain, and then they removed it because the kids kept wrecking it.
Oh.
So there was no view of the fountain?
No, it was just the park view.
At the Fountain View Hotel. And wasn't there, didn't we send up our mobile billboard of me and Jane as the royal couple?
Shout out to Triple M Dubbo 93.5, Pippa and Aloe for breakfast.
I don't like Aloe. Pippa's good, but Aloe's
not a fan.
But thank you for swinging by. Now, last time you were here, you brought in a clip which we have played many times on this. It's gone into our pantheon of greats. Describe it again.
I'm very proud. It's two sportscasters having a chat, and one asks a bit of a leading question that doesn't quite go the way he wants.
Being postponed and first half analysis. Now, I kind of want to know a little bit more about Tom Hart's dog, Larry, actually.
Well, we had to put him down a few weeks ago, Peter. Thanks for asking.
Wow.
Jeez. Oh, always know the answer before you ask the question.
Always know the answer.
I would have thought would be the smart thing to do, so thank you.
So I found another one, another one where maybe, again, know the answer of what you're asking the question to or what you're saying. So have a listen to this.
Just confirming the ground is now good to say. Oh, you've been joined by a beautiful lady.
It's a man, actually, Derek.
So, I mean, he's gone. He's thought he was a beautiful lady.
That makes me laugh. You've got to get, there's not a lot you've got to get your head around.
No.
Just the basic facts.
Just the basic facts.
To do some study. Yeah,
if you want to be a sportscaster, you've got to get that stuff too.
Speaking of sport, you, I believe, cast an eye over Holy Moly, which was Channel 7's debut episode last night. What did you make of it?
Well, it went gangbusters. I was a little bit disappointed. It went really well. Channel 7 ripped off an idea that I had, which was Glory Holy Moly.
Oh, come on.
Which was set in public toilets around Australia.
I'm yellow carding
you.
You
need to see that.
Mate, lots of lube in both shows.
Mate, I'd just like to apologise to all our regional stations.
Yeah, that's grubby.
Any kids in the car out there?
What do you mean it's grubby, Dave?
I don't know.
Adults having fun, mate.
1 million viewers last night, by the way. Just on a minute.
I was asked to host a show called Arsehole Molly. speaking of kids, I mentioned the kids.
Yes.
You don't have any kids. Why?
Well, I don't have any kids because I enjoy being happy.
None that you acknowledge in a court of law.
No, that is very true. But I recently went on holidays with some friends of mine, friend of the show, Limo, and his lovely wife, Kelly.
Yeah, of course. And she's too good for him, by the way.
I completely agree. Now, they've got a little boy who has a bit of a fondness for hiding things. Now, do your kids do this? Is this an issue with children in general?
They would have when they were little, not anymore.
Yeah, okay.
They're not hiding. My boys accused me and actually told everyone told the teachers at school that Dad stores his beer under our bed. They told Whitney. They came in here and told Whitney that unsolicited as well. Well, no, because I've got, you know, the premiership slabs from a number of years.
But
firstly, 2017, CUB, the best brewery in Australia, put together the you know, the premiership slopes.
Yeah.
And so I don't drink them when I come home late or I get tempted. I keep them under the boys got bunk beds.
It's too hard to get
and
under
I
the
push
bed,
them under the beds. But they've gone and told everyone that they've dad keeps beer under our
What's
beds.
What's the age where you take that away from them? Because there's going to be times where they're like, oh, dad's.
I'll probably when they get to 15. When they're stealing their first car, it's probably time to go.
That is a good time.
So what's your point? What's your.
Well, so he started hiding things. Now, I'm not good with kids. I don't know how old he is. He's either like between 4 and like 16, something like that. Like the only age group I know is barely legal. Okay. So we're playing pool in this house and he comes in and he's got like everyone's keys and sunnies and wallets and stuff. And it's like Oliver Twist over here.
Yeah.
And we're like, mate, you can't do this. And then the next day when we get up after a big night, can't find my keys. So that's my car keys, my house keys. Mm. And we're asking him where he's put them because clearly he's taken them. And it's amazing to me. Kids have the worst memories in the world, don't they? Yeah. Like whenever you ask them something, they just have no idea. And it's like, unless it's like, oh, you were really drunk last night, Uncle Rosie. It's like, oh, you remember that, don't you?
Yeah.
You
know?
And so just a quick question as a parent, how hard can you hit another person's kid?
Oh, yeah. Oh. That's it. Well, in front of them?
Yeah, true.
Or secretly?
Secretly. Yeah. Out the back. Just a nudge into the wall?
I do it when I... You know, running them over is a bit hard. What I do now with the boys, they say we're in a car or a cab or something and they're misbehaving because they know, because you can't scold your kid.
Right.
So I'll dig them in the ribs or give them a little,
a little pinch.
But they've learned, they know what I'm doing now because I don't want to get busted. So they say it out loud. So they go, Daddy, why are you hurting?
Well done, Fred. Well done, Lenny.
Play it on to
So this is a question we should ask our listeners, right?
Yeah. Have your kids hidden anything that you...
What have they hidden?
Yeah, that you took ages to find.
1-3-3-5-3
The one thing that was really difficult was everyone was like, we've got to go through your room because I kept thinking it was in my room.
Yeah.
And you don't think you've got anything to hide until people are going through your luggage, like it's customs. And it's like, luckily I've got a secret apartment for my fleshlight, but no one could find it. It was like...
All right.
1-3-3-5-3
Rosie, yellow
kids
card.
Kids in the car. We'll come back in a minute.
For the drive home, this is Malloy.
Adam Rosenbach is with us. By the way, Rosie's got some shows coming up. The Unwellness Guru, you go trybooking.com to buy tickets, but the Imperial Hotel, you'll be in Melbourne on the 25th of March. That'll be until the 4th of April.
Can also be heard on our Brisbane and Adelaide breakfast shows. Big hello to everyone in Queensland and South Australia. How are you going over there?
Yeah, great. Mardo and Margo just started this year.
Great.
And of course, Roo and Ditch in Adelaide's been great.
I like Ditch. Don't care for Roo.
Oh, Roo's great.
I really don't. Roo's a legend. Mate. I think he owes me money, doesn't he?
No, you owe him money at his pub.
Oh, yeah,
there you go. You get James to pay it on your credit card.
James, there you go. Who knows what he's done out there. Win a $30 million Powerball ticket or Oz Lotto ticket. You're not in it. It's only people here today who are...
Thanks for telling me.
You don't say that to our guest.
Well, I'm just making sure there's no... And I'm on air, so I've got him. So if anything happens, I can say you were told beforehand.
It's on the record, I see.
On the record. We've got some calls. What were you asking? Kids... hidden stuff that you've left around.
Yeah, well, I was on holiday with some friends and their son hid my car keys for...
Limo's
kid, over 24 hours it took me to find him. And, I reckon, Dave, you would have just stopped sponsoring him. You would have gone, well, you're dead to me.
How's that? Is that to you? Is that remarkable?
It's unbelievable. Like, you know, you got to make sacrifices somewhere.
But I'd love to know what he kept.
Yeah,
I'd love
I know.
To know what he kept. So it's a GFC crisis, and he's tightening the belt, and he's got the whole family meeting.
Yeah.
And he's going through all the accounts. He's
still putting premium unleaded in the gets.
He's by a little Nathaniel from Kenya.
Didn't have to load up on trucker hats at the time, did you, Dave? No, but Dave, poor little fella.
You've got to start somewhere on the list of budgetary requirements, and that was at the top of the list.
That kid's gone. I tell you what, I'd love to track him down. He'll knock down the Twin Towers, telling you.
He'll be angry if you ever buy the big pack of fish and chips.
$57.
What is your kids hidden? We've got a few callers. Brent, have you had your kids hide something from you that you really needed?
Yes, Mickey, you'd understand this, mate, being having the physique of a couch potato.
you've just done yourself out of a slag, Brent.
Let me tell you,
Brent, right off the bat.
Mate, the young bloke is about 18 months. The old remote control.
And where'd he put the... He took the remote control.
Oh,
where'd he put it?
God.
Yeah, mate, he put it out the front in the gumboot.
In his or yours?
In mine, mate. And I found it in his.
And you found it the next day or day after when you go to put your gumboots on and go...
About 5 or 6 hours later.
Oh man. And did you reason with him? Was it good cop, bad cop? Did you make him retrace his steps? What were you doing?
Like you said before, they don't know.
Yeah.
Mate, I'm going to give you a slab of Brick Lane anyway, but next time, a bit more polite as a guest about my
physique. I'd love the draft. I love you anyway, Mickey.
Good on you, Brett. You're a good man. Thanks for that. Lucas is on the line. That's a standard. You know, remote. I panic. If I can't find the remote, you know, I do it like I shut all the blinds, the windows, no one in, no one out.
Is that right?
You've got kids. Can't you use them as your remote? Like, hey, get up there, go over there, put it on 504.
Yeah.
Mate, I told you my grandfather had the first remote. One day as a child, he goes, come with me, Mick. I've got the first ever remote.
Wow.
And he lived in Queensland, just out of Brisbane there. And I go, and he's got, it's the size of a shoebox.
right.
So the remote's the size of a shoebox with two buttons, on, off, attached with the curly, remember the telephone cord? The curly telephone cord.
Yes.
To the front of the TV. So it's on a cord.
On, off.
Which superseded, I believe, the old billiard cue, which was, of course, the original.
Technology, huh?
We had one with our VCR, and the cord only came to like the middle of the lounge room. Oh. So you'd have to get off the couch, go to the middle of the lounge room, and press fast forward.
Oh, you can't mess with the remote control.
No.
Lucas is on the line. Lucas, what'd your kids hide?
Similar story. My son hid my house keys or house and car keys, but he hid them for 3.5 weeks.
Oh.
The part that makes this story so interesting is that he pretended to help look for them.
You know what? He's like the serial killer that comes and helps out the police with the search. He's like, oh, yeah, no, this is fantastic.
Just out of interest, where were they hidden, Lucas?
Behind a bookcase, of all places.
A bookshelf. That's why you didn't find it for 3.5 weeks. Don't strike me as the type. Lucas, slam a Brick Lane for you, buddy.
Oh, there you go. On its way. Available at Dan Murphy's, by the way.
The draft.
Cheers, guys.
Shane. I think we've got time for Shane quickly. Shane, what did you used to hide yourself, did it, from your dad?
Yeah, it was me when I was – or when – me and the siblings were younger, we used to hide the belt from Dad.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
It was a custom-made belt, too, only for smacking.
God. That's my smacking belt.
Shane.
Yeah, my dad used to – I used to know when I was in strife, and good luck catching me in the back garden as we did circles around a big tree. You've got to stop sometime.
Just ran a
path. Wear him down. I'll wear a slab of Brick Lane for Shane. Thank you for coming in. One of the gigs again.
You got it. Rosie will be performing at the Imperial Hotel in Melbourne. That'll be from March to April. You go trybooking.com.
What's the show called?
It's the Unwellness Guru.
Yeah. Have to get to the bottom of that.
Yeah. Right. Adam Rosenbach's joining us there. Holiday to give away next.
A drive home that's always unpredictable. This is Malloy.
All across Australia on the Triple M Radio Network.
I'm a better man.
Yes, Eddie Vedder. Has that sort of distinctive sort of
90s. Well, who did we play today? Stone Temple Pilots?
Scott Whelan earlier with the Stone Temple Pilots.
He sounded the same.
Yeah, yeah.
And Pearl Jam, Better Man, the same. Yeah, as described on TED.
Yeah, yeah.
That meant Ted himself told us what was going on in the 90s.
You can do any 90s song with just vowels. I want to live forever, 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 forever.
Very true.
That makes me laugh.
Right,
hey, we are still going to give away. It's
ready
coming up. New South Wales, trip 2 from anywhere in Australia.
Yeah.
I've got, you know what, where I would go?
Where's that?
Engadine McDonald's. I want to go and see where our Prime Minister weed himself.
Yeah.
I really do. I mean, I just think it should be. It needs one of those bronze discs out the front.
This is the McDonald's
where the Prime Minister.
Oh, what about the Pasha Bulka? Remember the
Newcastle?
You want to
go see the beach Newcastle with the Pasha Bulka.
Sat there for a bit, didn't it?
It was beached itself.
Yeah, yeah. Huh? I'm going to put that on my Newcastle. I'm coming for
Newcastle.
You.
Okay, these are the things.
Yes.
Don't say Harbour Bridge or you're not going to win. We need to know why. You want to go to the great states of New South Wales. We're going to give a trip away thanks to Tourism Australia.
133353.
The drive home. This is Malloy.
It is indeed, and thanks to Tourism Australia.
Yeah,
you know, Australia, the best is in your backyard. The ultimate holiday awaits. You can start planning your next travel adventure at australia.com. Why
I love
you?
This country.
Oh,
I
man.
Love every part of it,
me
from the pointy
too.
Bit at the top to Tassie down the back to the Kimberley out north. This is one of the great prizes.
Mm.
It's one of the great things to do. You're
and
supporting
we've got
Australia,
in Australia
and other Australian towns.
Yeah.
We all get around each other, and we're going to give one away today. A trip to New South Wales from someone who can impress us with their reason as to why they want to go. It's thanks to Tourism Australia, who are doing a bloody good job.
Well done.
I'd like to go and stand on the wharf with the Ruby Princess dogs.
Okay.
Just to see where it all started.
Yeah, well, okay.
Just to see why we're only holidaying in Australia.
Where the virus first sort of came in.
That would be good. Or historic. Maybe to Byron, just to see the running of the Hemsworths. Do you know what I mean?
Without their shoes.
Hey, yeah. Casey, why do you want to go to New South Wales for an all-paid holiday?
Why not? You know, it's New South Wales.
Where would you go?
I'd head out to Orange, mate.
Why do you go to Orange?
Orange,
yep.
They've got a Badlands brewery out there, and I'd just like to give them a taste.
Oh, well, that is a good reason to go. What's the brewery?
Badlands Brewery.
I see going to see a brewery is like travelling to Mecca for me.
Yeah, yeah. Willy Wonka stuff, isn't it?
Take my prayer mat. Sit out the front and six times a day. I do it. Good on you, Casey. Right, you're in the running. Bryn's on the line. Hey, Bryn, why do you want to go to the great state of New South Wales? Go.
Hey, Mick, how are you? Growing up, we used to go camping to Narooma every year.
Great spot.
Yeah, I haven't been back there for a while, and now I've got a young family and one due next week, so it's fair to say by the end of the year I'm going to need a holiday, mate.
Well, you need a holiday location and a style of holiday, a.k.a. camping, where it's not going to get amorous, and you produce another one. So camping's a go. How old are your kids?
I got a 5-year-old girl who just started primary school, a 2-year-old boy. Another boy due next week.
It'd be good, so if you went there and even, I don't know, lost one or two.
That's Bryn's a young family.
Hey, Bryn, you're in the hunt. Good luck with that. Rosemary's on the line. Rosemary, why do you want to go to New South Wales?
Yeah. Well, I really want to go to New South Wales to the Darling River Run.
The Darling River Run. Now, that sounds like a series Sigrid Thornton would be. It's time now for another episode of the Darling River Run. What happens there?
Yeah. Okay, so it's a road trip that you do all the way from Bourke to Wentworth. So you come all the way down the Darling River and you stop at all the little towns like Louth and you support all the little pubs on the way and there's water.
Sounds
in the
a bit
river,
worthy.
So you
are you knocking
fishing?
Over 7-Elevens or something? are you doing any smash and grabs?
You don't do that to the little towns.
It sounds like a proper holiday to me. Sounds like a proper
pubs and camp on the river.
We'll see how we go. Pipe down. You're in the hunt. Tim's on the line. Tim, why do you want to go?
Hey boys, I live in Brisbane. I'm a crazy Brisbane Broncos supporter. Yeah. I've always had a dream of going to watch a Sydney game. Last year was probably one of the worst years of my life, experiencing us getting the wooden spoon.
Yeah.
So the 5th of April next year against Wayne Bennett's Rabbitohs, in Stadium Australia in Sydney. I want to go down there. I want to put my Bronco jersey on, my Bronco wig on, put my face paint on, sit in the middle of the burrow and give it all to them Rabbitohs fans.
Okay, so, we have a clubhouse leader.
All right.
You want to go to support the Wooden Spoon Broncos in round 5 down in New South Wales. Oh, hiya about, Tim.
Mate. I've always had a dream for one reason or another, whether it be work or something hasn't worked out. I haven't been able to go to a Sydney game. And when my boys are down and out, that's...
All right, Tim, hold the phone. You're in the shot. Yeah. Let's go to JK. JK, why do you want to go to New South Wales?
Mate, because I need to take my 3-year-old daughter to see The Dish.
Oh, The Dish.
Oh, yeah.
In parks.
Yeah.
That would be fantastic. Can you play cricket on it like they did in the movie? Very good Australian film.
Indeed. I am keen. I took all my other kids there, but then she came along as quite a surprise a few years later, so she's missed out. So
to go to The Dish in parks is not bad. Do you know the other reason to go to parks is they have an Elvis festival?
I've heard that, yeah.
Which would be...
Oh, they do too.
Ripper. All right, hold the phone. Right. Are we going to do this, Dave?
You want to do it now? Want to give it away?
Let's get it out of the way.
Who's going to win?
Tim wins today.
Oh, Tim, you've done it.
I like the idea. No, Whitney's not happy. Whitney's shaking her head. Whitney's
Thanks
booing
guys,
me.
He's a legend.
Whitney's booing me through the glass.
No, you've got it, Tim. You've got yourself a holiday. You're going to go to Sydney. Obviously, it's where you want to go and support the Wooden Spooners.
They're a Wooden Spoon team, so anyone who's prepared to go interstate to support that team and
love it.
Put it about...
Look. We're going to turn it around next year, boys. Don't you worry.
Well, yeah. Tim, enjoy. Tourism Australia on your side.
You got it. Thanks, holiday guys. Here this year in Australia. Australia.com to book your next travel adventure. Another trip tomorrow to give away. More on that right after this.
For the drive home, this is Malloy.
Hey, tomorrow, Victoria, we'll talk about holiday here this year.
Great winner.
Yeah, congratulations too. So the great state of Victoria, which we both, and so I'm thinking like...
You come and stay at my house. That might be why you want to come. You might come and stay at my house.
Well, you could go visit the Mount Eliza Football Club where you kicked
Well, I've won the best and fairest. No. You see where the magic happened.
You can come to my hometown of Ballarat and I'll take you to Cryle Castle.
Oi! Which was, is it still a brothel? Or is
was it Wednesday?
It used to be like a great like theatre restaurant.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was medieval.
And they turned it into a brothel. Yeah. Imagine getting those confused. You know, come for a fun night out.
In the stocks.
Gee, the audience participation is pretty good here.
Hey, by the way, you can also go online and search up all the socials. We'll send out the link. So if you can't enter, you can't ring, you can go online and enter as well to win those prizes. So good luck.
You know where I'm going now?
Where's that?
To use my AI toilet. You know the one from Japan that tells you exactly how you're going?
Yeah, I think it
gives you a readout, lets you know what you're doing. I used it last night. Have you got it?
Yeah, this is the readout after you've done a big log.
Hello, Michael. I do love the smell of burrito in the morning. However, I would suggest seeing a doctor immediately.
This is not the first time I've heard that.
No one needs that. No one needs that.
Just been given the bad news by my toot.
That's right.
Hello, who's on the show tomorrow, mate?
All right, on the show tomorrow. Otana Douglas. You know, Triple M is a rock station. We love music first, don't we?
This is a great rock story. The first ever female roadie has written a book. She's brilliant.
And she's done it with everyone. All the big bands you can think of. She
knows where all the bodies are buried. She slept with Malcolm
Young from
ACDC. She's been done drugs with Iggy Pop.
I know, David Bowie.
All the stories, just keep on coming. You want to get involved with that. We might give away a couple of her books. Loud.
Loud's the name of the novel or the story and the book. So we'll talk to Tana tomorrow. Miss today's show. Catch up with the podcast. It'll be up in a moment. And we'll talk to you again tomorrow. Malloy here on Triple M.
Now you're all caught up on the Malloy Drive Show.